Good morning, church. I invite you to join me in prayer. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we approach you as your people, your purchased, blood-bought, loved, approved, cared-for people. We come before you in boldness, and we ask that you would, at this time, give us a fresh word from you, that you would, through this video, through your word, that you would comfort all those who are weary, that you would use this to drive out the fear that is crippling a lot of people right now, those who are weighed down with anxiety in America, all around the world, that you would be kind and show compassion to your church. God, for the overwhelmed mother, for the father who does not know whether he will get another full paycheck or not, for the senior citizens who are sitting at home watching the news and they are terrified, God, would you bless them with your presence? Would you give them what they need right now? Pour out your grace on them. God, to those who are listening to my voice, who are seeking answers and direction from you, I pray that you would answer their cries, that you would both hear them and answer them. God, I pray for your hand of grace on all of our healthcare workers who right now are starting to feel and overwhelmed, starting to not know what next steps they're to do. God, I pray that your hand of grace would be on them, both here and around the globe. Father, I pray for our leaders, world leaders. I pray for our nation's leaders. I pray for the task force that you have appointed to try to help us navigate this. I trust you. We trust you as your church that you have put the leaders in place that you desire and that you will guide them. You will help them make proper decisions. I pray for our president, President Trump, that you would at this time give him direction, give him wisdom beyond his understanding. I pray for our governors. I pray for our governor, Governor Cooper, that you would lead him as he leads us and navigates North Carolina through this. I pray for our mayor, Mayor Lyles. I pray that you would give her wisdom and direction, that that she would follow you, that you would instruct her on how to best help our city, the city of Charlotte. God, please use this time to draw our leaders to yourself. Don't only give them the wisdom that they need to lead us, but God, to those who do not trust you as Lord, please grant them the faith to believe at this time. God, use this pandemic to draw men and women, not just our leaders, but men and women across the globe, to draw them to you. Use this time to receive glory for yourself. God, expand your kingdom. Love on us. And right now, please, through your word, encourage our weary souls. In Christ's name, amen. So I'd like to begin with a couple words of encouragement. In prayer, I've been directed by God that our church and the world right now does not I've been directed by God that our church and our world at this moment in history We do not need a list of things to do. We do not need more information about what's going on. Right now, at this moment, we need encouragement. We need encouragement from each other, and we need encouragement from God. We need encouragement because our souls are weary. My soul is weary. I'm concerned. We are living in uncertain times. The predictability of tomorrow is gone. And most of our lives have been changed in a week. And so, for our good, I have three things that are happening right now. Christian, these are three things that you can hold on to tightly right now that God is doing at the present moment for His people, for His church, and for the world. The first one is this. Remember, church, that when the world is shaken, and when we are shaken, God is steady. He is not shaken. This virus did not sneak up on Him like it snuck up on us. God is not in a panic. He is not anxious. God is not wringing His hands right now. He's not in worry. And why is He not? Because our God holds everything together. Everything submits to His control. He has not given up His rule over the world. We see this clearly as Jesus would sleep in the boat while the storms around Him were tossing the boat. And all the people on the boat were scared to death. Jesus was asleep in the bottom of the boat. How? Because Jesus knew that the waves, the wind, the sea, they obey His voice. This pandemic, the world, everything that's going on right now, it submits to and will obey the word of Jesus. It said in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, "Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. In His unflinching demeanor, Jesus invites all of us to draw near to Him and receive help for our time of trouble." So if your soul is weary, and if you are looking at a time of trouble, the word of the Lord says in Psalm 55, 22, "Cast all of your burdens on the Lord, and He will sustain you." There's no question about it. When you cast your burdens to Him, all the burdens that you're facing right now, all the things that internally are causing you to stay up at night, all your burdens, it's promised, cast them on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Because of your standing with God in Christ, we have been declared righteous by Him. It says that God will not let, He will not allow the righteous to crumble. He is steady. He is not shaken. And church, right now, you can believe that. You can do that right now. Because it's only in times where our foot slips that we grab a hold of something that is secure and sturdy. And some of us, our foot is slipping, and we're reaching for something that is steady. Reach to Christ. Only when we see how strong He is, can we be honest about our own weaknesses and fears. Many people right now are asking, I've seen it a lot on social media, I see it even on the news, a lot of people are asking, where is God in all of this? Turmoil is happening across the globe. This is not a one country thing. It seems like it's a global, across the globe, we are scared. Most are scared. Where is God in all of this? Here's where God is. He is with those who are hurting. God is in the hospitals comforting those who are in pain. God is right now in our houses listening to our prayers. He's comforting those families who are going through major points of anxiety. He is healing the sick. What is God doing right now? He's taking on all of our burdens. That's what He's doing. God is at work. He has not stopped. What is He doing right now? He is the great physician that is healing. And we can trust that God, while we are being shaken, that God is the one source of steadiness that we desperately need. That is our first encouragement. The second encouragement is this. God is using this moment right now to make you into the man and woman that He desires for you to be. So Christian, those of you who have placed all of your faith, all of your life into His hands, you trust Jesus as the resurrected Savior, that all things that happen to you are being worked out for your good. He is producing within you right now very particular things. And He doesn't keep us in the dark on what those things are. In Romans chapter 5, He tells us what He is building within us. Romans chapter 5, it says this in verse 2 through 5. It says, through Him, Christian, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. More than that, listen, He says, we rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. That God is using this time to build within each of His followers a deep confidence and hope in Him. And it says, hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Right now, God is shaping you. He is molding you. This is a test. This is a test. Most of us can't see it, but that is what is happening. And oftentimes, our greatest growth happens through our greatest pains. What we would never pick is the only thing that will produce in us what God wants to build in us. God is producing, and the call in Romans 5 is to rejoice in the suffering. God is building your hope. God is building your trust in Him. God is building your faith in Him. And in times like this, He is gracious to show us the feeble things that we have placed our hope and our joy in. It's only when the storm comes do we find how secure the foundation was. And the storm has come, and the storm is coming. It has hit. Those who sought deep, abiding joy in sports are now scrambling to replace it. And those who sought comfort and fulfillment through going places and doing things, through achieving and accomplishing and getting our fix on the next adventure, God graciously has pulled the rug out from underneath us. and He is exposing to us the gods, the little gods that we used and that we did not even know we were worshiping. So it didn't take me long after my four kids came home from school. It didn't take me long to see how deeply rooted my idol of comfort and convenience was. God used that to expose to me what I was really hoping to find comfort and convenience from. Some of us are realizing we're not the gracious Christians we thought we were. It's like an orange being pressed and the juice coming out. This pandemic is pressing us and showing us what's on the inside. For some of us, instead of seeing humble servanthood, we're noticing that we desire self-preservation. When being asked to do something for the greater good, to make a sacrifice, to lay down your rights internally, what's coming to light is we want to rebel because nobody can tell me what I can do. I'm independent. I live in a free country. What this pandemic is doing is it is exposing our idols of control. It is only in weeks like this do some of our greatest fears get pulled out of the shadows and into the light. We learn a lot about our hearts during times like this. We learn about our greatest fears, what we would lose that would wreck us. We find that the loss of loved ones, the loss of a job, the loss of our money, the fear of loneliness, to lose independence, to lose control, to lose personal freedom, all of that is at stake. But by God's grace, for our good, God is pulling the idols out of our tightly gripped hands. I felt that mostly as I watched my retirement account get cut in half in one day. It was as if God was saying, Stephen, I love you too much. I love you too much to let you seek security in money, to find hope in the future that you're creating. That God graciously pulls out and exposes the idols in my heart. And that is the way that God makes us into the kind of people who have endurance, the kind of people who remain steadfast, the kind of people who placed our faith and our hope in Christ alone. This is how God exposes our weak foundations. So I want us here to be encouraged. Be encouraged because God loves you too much to let you continue, to let any of us continue in the status quo of life. God loves you too much to let something other than Him be your rock. Jesus wants to be your rock. He desires preeminence over your whole life. Jesus wants to be your security. He wants to be your full hope. And He loves you too much to let something else be what you establish your life on that will fail you. He wants to be our firm foundation. So what is happening is not just us. God is shaking the planet. He is waking us up out of our sleep. God is using this moment to shape us. And my encouragement, church, is let Him do it. Let Him use this moment in your life. Let this be a benchmark for you that God, that is when God awoke your heart to the things that you need to run away from, and that God drew you to Him, the one source of your joy, the one source of your hope. Let Him work. You will come out, if you let Him work, you will come out of this season more steady. You will come out with more endurance. You will come out with more character and a greater hope. God will not waste our suffering. He always uses our suffering. Just as the cross of Jesus proclaims to us, it is not in vain. It is doing something. We might not know exactly what it's doing, but in God's great, divine, supreme plan, He is working things for His glory and for your good right now. That's what God is doing. So lastly, my last word of encouragement before a brief challenge, last word of encouragement is this: to all followers of Jesus, right now, Jesus, the Son of God, the one mediator between you and the Father, your Redeemer, your perfect brother, your hero, your Lord, right now, this moment, while you're listening to this video, He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And He, right now, continues in His perfect prayers for you. He is calling your name out to the Father in prayer. And all of His prayers are answered because He prays perfectly on the basis of His perfect sacrifice. We see this in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 34 says, Jesus Christ is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Right now, you have an intercessor. You have someone who is pleading your case before the Father. He is making an appeal on your behalf to God. He is intervening our cause. Robert Murray McShane, 19th century Scottish minister, said this: if I could hear Christ praying for me in the next room, I would not fear a million enemies. Yet the distance makes no difference. He is praying for me. Another man said it this way: imagine the heavenly prayer meeting. It goes on for you and for me and for the whole church of God continually. The exalted Son, seated at His Father's right hand, powerfully pleading our case, bringing forth His blood and righteousness, indeed His very person, on our behalf. He defends us from all the accusation and the condemnation of the evil one. And because the Father loves His Son, every promise is yes and amen in Christ. As if that were not grace enough, the Holy Spirit is also present. He's calling in on a direct line from our hearts, where He not only knows our every need more intimately than we do ourselves, but He also gazes into the depths of the Father's will with complete clarity. And since all of His requests are perfectly in line with that will, and everything for which He asks echoes the request of the beloved Son, His continual request are continually granted. Christian, right now, in your living room, where you sit, in your car driving, wherever you are, you have a God that loves you so much that He will not quit praying for you. He is for you. He is for you in the middle of questions. He is for you in the middle of anxiety. He is for you in the middle of turmoil. He's for you in the middle of all concern in life. Just as He is for you months ago when a pandemic was not even a thought. Our God, your God, is for you, and He's praying for you. Whatever you're going through, know that you have an advocate with the Father, an intercessor with the Father. So I hope those words encouraged you. I hope that you are more at ease with the current circumstances because encouraging word and declaration to you about what God is and where what He is doing and where He is. Finally, I want to leave you with this in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Because God is praying for us, here is one challenge, one opportunity that I want to give to the church today. Because He is praying for us, here's what we do. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "First of all, then, I urge that supplication, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and for all who are high in position, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way, for this is good. And it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth." My challenge to us today, church, we have an opportunity right now to radically change the lane. We have an opportunity right now to radically change the landscape of the world. What do? We do what Paul instructs Timothy to do. He says, first of all, the first thing we do, here's what we do. We pray. We seek God's face on behalf of all the things that are going, all the people around the world. We go to God. We take them. We take their names. We take their countries. We take their leaders. And we take them before God. And we say, God, only You can bring about what we desperately need right here and right now. We have an opportunity, church, to change the world from our living rooms. Right now, we spend our quarantine wrangling kids, video chats, and we spend our quarantine on our knees in prayer. We start with praying for all people. This is action. We don't talk about prayer. We don't learn about prayer. We pray. The call for us today, now, is prayer. Prayer is direct action. It is faith that is at work. We believe this about God. We believe God has the power to heal our land. We believe God has the power to slow down the epidemic. We believe God has the power to comfort those who are weary. And so what do? We pray. We pray. We put our faith into action. Prayer is getting above what we see and entering into the unseen. Prayer is rising above the natural and living in the supernatural. It is joining our hearts with God and seeking His face for what He wants right now. The instruction that Paul gives Timothy is to pray for all people. And he says, pray for all people these ways, prayers of supplication. Bring your pension to Him. Call out for specific needs of concrete situations. Intercede for them. Stand in the gap for someone else. Church, Someone now, probably across the world, is reading this and praying for us. Someone probably is interceding on our behalf. And now we get to join them for the globe and intercede for our brothers and sisters across the world. We get to stand in the gap for them. We get to go to the throne of grace for them. And it says all people. It says all people here in this passage three times. No one is left out. No one is left out. All walks of life, all backgrounds, the first world, the third world, all slaves, all Gentiles here, all Jews, everyone needs prayer. And specifically at a time like this, our friends, our neighbors, our family, our church, our country, we desperately need prayer. Predominantly, the prayer here that Paul is instructing to Timothy is the prayer, and it says in verse 4, who desires God, who desires all people be saved to come to the knowledge of truth. So what we have currently is this virus pandemic that has spread, but the ultimate reality Paul knew, Timothy knows, we know, is that what really has corrupted the society is the pandemic that started in the Garden of Eden, that we desperately need a cure from, that we all across the globe, we suffer from ignoring God. And God, in His good grace, is using this to shake us, to call us back to Him, to draw people to Himself. And we are encouraged here to pray to God for revival. Pray for Him to unleash His Spirit, to draw men and women, that they would have the knowledge of truth, the truth about what Christ has done. That we should be praying that revival would spread across our world right now. Now is the time for God's people to get on their knees and cry out to Him for the world. That is what we should be praying for. So what does it look like for us? Here's what it looks like, Sent Church. We don't talk. We don't think. We do. Pray. Wake up early. Go into the closet and cry out to God. Take requests to Him. Join your families together. Unite your kids. Beg God for help. Beg Him for an unleashing of His Spirit on this world. Our Sent communities, come together through video chat, through phone calls, text messages, pray for one another. Unite around prayer. Our whole church is doing this on Monday evenings. Join us in the seeking of God's face. Someone right now needs your prayers. Please deliver those prayers. Call someone. Pray with someone. I want to leave us with this prayer in Colossians, that Paul prays over the church, and I'm going to pray over us right now this prayer, Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. Father, I pray that for our brothers and sisters, both here and across the globe, I pray that they would be filled with knowledge of Your will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Where we are confused, God, bring clarity. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Father, please help us at this season to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. May you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. God, I pray that we would go through this with endurance and patience and joy, knowing that You are the substance that we feed on. You are the bed that we rest our weary souls on. God, that we would give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Because You have delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Thank You, Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.